Last case for argument, United States v. Alexander. Ms. Bierma.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Erica Bierma, and I have been appointed to represent Mr. Alex Alexander in this appeal. This case presents a single issue, specifically whether the government's rebuttal argument improperly bolstered the credibility of Officer Hansel when the government argued he would not violate his oath of office and manufacture evidence to falsely implicate the defendant. We acknowledge that this comment was not objected to below, and even with the plain error review, that the comments did deprive Mr. Alexander of a fair trial, and the outcome may have been different. When we look at the framework in determining whether the comment was improper, this Court must look at the comment in isolation. Specifically, was the comment improper? Second, the Court must look at, did the comment deny Mr. Alexander of a fair trial? And I would respectfully submit that the answer is yes to both of those questions.
Well, I think the comment about Officer Hansel by you, is it you or someone else?
It was somebody else, Your Honor.
That was very, very unpleasant. And I think it invites the government to respond the way it did. I mean, you can't have a situation where defendants' lawyers can slander government witnesses with impunity.
That's correct, Your Honor, but I respectfully disagree about that the comment was invited by defense counsel.
Of course it was invited. Look what he's saying about Hansel.
Well, Your Honor, defense counsel was arguing about his misperception of the streets in which Well, he was talking about the Kent Blake Street discrepancy and also that the fact that the government took pictures of the scene in the spring or summer, not at the time.
But Officer Hansel is subject to incredible debate because he states things which are not corroborated. Look, if you have defense lawyers who want to talk like that to a jury, then the government lawyer is going to talk like that to a jury.
Well, I respectfully disagree, Your Honor, that the comment was invited.
Well, I don't understand. That slants the case, the closing arguments, in favor of the defendant. Why should the defendant's lawyer be permitted to say anything that the government's lawyer isn't permitted to say?
Well, I don't think that the defense counsel's statements put Officer Hansel's, you know, they weren't saying that Officer Hansel was lying. Officer Hansel was fabricating evidence that Officer Hansel created this entire investigation for the purposes of framing Mr. Alexander. It was just his misperceptions of the streets. And then I think it was more of an attack on the government's evidence as it relates to they only called Officer Hansel instead of some of the additional officers that were ultimately at the scene. Like, for example, Officer Johnson did have a canine, and that officer was not called at trial. And I don't think that it was invited by defense counsel. But when we look at the nature and seriousness of the statement, the comment specifically speaks to Officer Hansel's credibility, and that credibility determination is for the jury to make. And by making that statement, we believe that the statement took away that credibility determination for the jury.
Is it? I don't see how that happens, but is it all right for counsel to question witnesses about the consequences of lying?
Do I think that it's appropriate about the consequences of lying?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
On the witness stand. That's perfectly okay, right?
Yes.
You can ask a witness about penalties for perjury.
Yes.
I'm not sure if you can ask about religious beliefs, but
right.
Certainly how seriously they take the oath, correct? And would it have been improper to, if the prosecutor had asked the officer about the oath he took as a police officer?
I don't think that they could specifically ask, bringing the oath into question, I guess, that, you know, that the officer is trained in his, or is trained to, you know, investigate to to write reports as accurately as they possibly can, but not to bring the question of the oath of office to the forefront of the jury.
It's perfectly all right, though, to in closing argument to point out that a witness, ladies and gentlemen, took the oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth in front of you. That's okay, right?
That's correct.
So why wouldn't it be okay to highlight a second oath that a witness took that would have been breached if he had been lying in court?
Well, I guess where I'm at, Your Honor, is that because we're talking about a law enforcement officer, this law enforcement officer, because of who they are in the case and because there aren't always the instructions. I mean, they're given the instruction about having special knowledge, but I think that putting their oath of office to the forefront of the jury is...
I don't understand how that's any different from highlighting the risks to and the consequences of being dishonest in court to any witness.
Well, I think that highlighting the consequences of being dishonest is different than an officer's oath of office. Because there's, you know, obviously consequences for perjury, you know, that doesn't necessarily impact the officer's oath of office.
I don't understand that.
Okay, perhaps an officer an officer takes their oath of office, which is separate and apart from the oath not to commit perjury. So potentially the officer... their oath of office, if they perjured themselves, would not be impacted by their improper statements.
Could a prosecutor ask a police officer, let's say, about the prospect of police disciplinary action if he were found to have lied in court?
Yes.
That would be okay?
Yes.
So I understand that these questions were not asked here, but I'm trying to understand. I mean, you're on a plain error review.
Right.
And if I understand the government's position, in essence it is, well, the prosecutor in rebuttal referred to the wrong oath. He could have reminded the jury about the oath that the witness took before the jury. That would have been perfectly okay. But it's somehow plain error if he refers to something else, and we've got to send it back for a new trial.
That's correct. Because if the prosecutor had referred to, as Judge Hamilton, as you just referred to, about the oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, that's different than the officer's oath of office.
Because it was part of the evidence, right? Part of what the jury saw.
Yes. And also when we look at, as Judge Posner indicated earlier, that I would respectfully submit that I do not believe that the comment was invited by defense counsel, which also weighs in favor of Mr. Alexander. But also when we look at was the jury sufficiently instructed in this matter, the jury was not given any other instruction other than the standard instruction about a person with specialized knowledge.
Right. Plain error, right?
Right. Yes, Your Honor. And also, when we look at could the defense counsel counter the statement in rebuttal, the defense counsel was unable to counter the statement because the comment was made in the government's rebuttal argument. But when we look at the weight of the evidence against Mr. Alexander, Officer Hansel was the primary witness against Mr. Alexander. He was the one who responded to the scene, and while there were other officers, it is possible that the government may not have been able to sustain a conviction without Officer Hansel. So Officer Hansel's testimony was crucial for Mr. Alexander's conviction. So when we look at the fifth factor that the court has to evaluate in determining whether or not Mr. Alexander was denied a fair trial, we have to temper the strength of the evidence based on the fact that that Officer Hansel was the primary witness against Mr. Alexander, which is distinguishable from a majority of the other cases in which the bolstering credibility determinations were based on typically lay witnesses.
Your only objection, isn't it, is to this sentence We know that Officer Hansel had no incentive at all to falsely implicate the defendant in any type of crime. That's what you object to, right?
I object, and we can go one step further.
I don't understand that. We can go even one step further, that if Officer Hansel was bent on breaking the law and violating his oath of office, he could have done a lot better.
Yes,
that's... What's the matter with that?
That the prosecution and the rebuttal was placing and was bolstering Mr. or Officer Hansel's testimony by saying, why would he violate his oath of office?
No, that's the first sentence. I'm asking you about the second sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And we can go even one step further. That if Officer Hansel was bent on breaking the law and violating his oath of office, he could have done a lot better. Now, what's your objection to that sentence?
My objection with that sentence, Your Honor, is the and violating his oath of office.
If that had been removed, it would have been okay.
Yes, Your Honor.
But that is this sentence assumes that, well, maybe he was, but if that's what he was doing, he certainly could have done a better job of lying, right?
Right.
Why does that hurt your client? I don't get that.
If I may answer your question, Your Honor. That I believe that this hurts Mr. Alexander because it raises to the jury's the forefront of their minds that Officer Hansel's oath of office, he wouldn't risk his oath of office.
But that's not what the second sentence says. It doesn't say anything about he wouldn't risk it.
Well, I respectfully disagree, Your Honor. I do believe that it puts his oath of office into question.
The second sentence does not say that. That he wouldn't violate his oath of office.
It says, Your Honor, as if we can go one step further, that if Officer Hansel was bent on breaking the law and violating his oath of office, it puts his oath in question.
That's the whole point. You want to put it in question.
Well, I believe that the way that the law is at this point in time that you cannot bolster the credibility.
Well, it's not bolstering. He's undermining it.
Well, I respectfully disagree with Your Honor. I do believe that it's...
Say that.
How can I say that? That because...
If he was bent on violating his oath of office. This is a statement that assumes that is a possibility. It says it's unlikely because he could have done better if that's what he was after, right?
Well,
so how is that? I don't understand how that supports your position.
Well, Your Honor, I believe that it supports my position by putting his oath in question instead of just leaving it.
Yes, of course. You want to put it in question. That's your whole point.
That's correct, Your Honor. Well, if I may, I'd like to reserve any time that I may have for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Carner.
Good morning. My name is Mark Carner. I'm the United States Attorney in the Northern District in the Western Division. I was the lead prosecutor in this case. The sole issue before the court is whether the government's incidental reference to a witness's oath of office in our rebuttal argument deprived the defendant of a fair trial and amounted to plain error. And let me just say at the outset, I acknowledge that the comments directed to the witness's oath of office should not have been made. However, they were incidental to the larger permissible argument that there was no evidence in the record that the witness had a reason to lie against the defendant, and had he such a reason, he would have done so more persuasively. The defendant was not deprived of a fair trial because the comments in the rebuttal argument were a brief counter to what was a prolonged aggressive attack on Officer Hansel's credibility. Those comments did not alter the outcome of the case because the evidence was strong in this case. The defendant fled from Officer Hansel at a high rate of speed in a snow-covered alley. He panically tried to shift in reverse and forward to extricate his car. The car contained an overwhelming odor of raw uncut canvas. There was cannabis, money, and a canvas residued scale within arm's reach of the officer, as well as the handgun underneath the front passenger seat. The defendant literally sat on a cell phone that had a text message in plain view asking how much for a quantity of illegal drugs. And based on all of this, Your Honors, we'd respectfully request that the court affirm the defendant's conviction and sentence, unless the court has any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Carter. So, Ms. Germer, do you have anything further?
Just a brief couple of comments, Your Honor, that to address what Mr. Carter said, the standard doesn't require a lengthy attack versus or a lengthy comment versus a brief attack. And for all of those reasons set forth in my brief, we would respectfully request that Mr. Alexander's conviction be vacated and remanded for a new trial. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Berman. And you were appointed, were you not?
I was, Your Honor.
Well, we thank you for your efforts on behalf.
Yep.
And